This is Veronica Monet from the Shame Free Zone. Thank you so much for tuning in. My guest tonight is Lisa Lawless from Holistic Wisdom. Lisa, are you there?
I am here, Veronica. Good to be on with you.
Hey, girl, what's happening in your side of the world?
Sex and more sex.
And all I really wanted was a weather report. We could just jump right into the topic. I know you're kind of biting at the bit with this whole scarlet letter thing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of my favorite topics to talk about, and it bothers me to no end with the way that I think a lot of people respond to sexuality. And I think we're making strides in our society, but I think there's a lot of focus on this very superficial part of sexuality, and it's still taboo in a lot of areas that you may not expect it to be, and I don't think people realize that. My background is as a sexual educator, and I was shocked at just how much discrimination there is against people who are in the sex industry. I had a background as being a therapist in mainstream psychology, and then kind of went into the direction of helping people become more sexually empowered and educating them on sexual issues. And I found myself associating more and more of being in the adult industry, as our website, holisticwisdom.com, sells sex toys and better sex type DVDs. And as I was progressing into developing the business, I found that we were getting shunned by web hosts and PayPal for a while, although they've come around. But quietly, they didn't let people know that they were letting people back for a while. Kinko's wouldn't work with us on some of our print projects. And I could go on and on. And it was just really shocking to find that in this day and age that that we were still being wearing our scarlet letter, so to speak. So,
well, they definitely are. And I for the listeners who don't know, I've actually worked for 14 years as a high-end escort, and it's just amazing because you cross this line. You go from being a good girl to being a bad girl.
Right.
And specifically, we're talking about girls here because it's not about what happens to men. Yes, men will get penalized, but usually men get penalized around the whole thing of, you know, taking advantage of the poor girl, the poor innocent girl.
Right.
So when it comes to pimping and pandering laws or even domestic violence laws, then a lot of times men will feel like, you know, all somebody's got to do is accuse them and they don't even really get a trial. So there's definitely inequities towards both genders, but right now what we're talking about is the double standard, the hormadonna complex, and that always plays towards women. And as an escort, I had no civil rights at all.
Yeah,
none.
Yeah.
It's my word against whoever's word. And for instance, I got arrested for prostitution, and I knew that here in the state of California, which is where I reside, the law reads that your landlord doesn't have the option of evicting you. He is mandatorily required by law to evict you as soon as he hears the slightest rumor that you might be a prostitute.
Wow.
So all somebody's got to do is, you know, plant a little rumor, some gossip, and if they don't evict you, then they can get prosecuted for pimping and pandering, which is a mandatory 2-year sentence. Believe it or not, there's rapists who get out sooner than that.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, I think, that we're still in that place, that we demonize people who in any way are connected to sexuality. Honestly, from my perspective, I think, prostitution should be legalized. I think that your civil rights should be protected regardless of what it is that you do for a living as far as sexuality is concerned, and as consenting adults. I have no problems with that. And it's really shocking, I think, as a sex educator to see, because, you know, I think part of, you know, my stance was, well, I wasn't doing anything illegal. As a sex educator, it is legal to be educating people about sexuality, you know, and I say that loosely because there are some issues that, you know, can come up that I've discovered that you have to be very careful about. But I think, you know, I was, you know, when I first started out, I was quite naive to people's reactions. And as I, you know, educated myself more about being in the field of sexuality as a professional, you know, and looking at what was out there in regard to laws and stereotypes and stigmas and things that were considered taboo, even just on a business-to-business level, it was just shocking. And then certainly to look into your previous vocation and to be shunned in the way that you have and treated in such a poor manner, it's just shocking.
Well, you know, my background, too, is from the straight world, so I had the college diploma.
Right.
And 7 years in corporate America, I was a marketing representative for a radio station before I ever got into the sex industry. And I started off doing legal things as well. I started off doing amateur porn.
Right, right.
But it's interesting to me because the stigma is pretty much unilateral. You know, if you are associated with sex and you're a female, there's just a certain level of rights to give up. And one of the reasons that I like to talk about some of the rights that you give up as a prostitute, because you don't have to be a prostitute to be treated like one.
Exactly.
All you have to do is be suspect, and all of a sudden the laws are such and society is such that you as a woman will find you might lose your child, you could lose your residence, you can lose your job.
It's true. I mean, I, in fact, just hired a new employee to work with us, and I feel an ethical obligation to, when I interview people, to discuss what it really means for them to work with us. And we're kind of a boutique-style sex toy company, very pro-women, pro-couples.
Your website is so tasteful.
Well, thank you.
It's hard to believe that anybody would even think about not doing business with you. I mean, you've got all those beautiful pastels, and there's not a X-rated image on there that I've found.
No, we really don't have nudity on the site. Not that I don't think that that's okay, but one of the reasons that I stayed away from doing anything too overt is because I speak out so much about the legal issues, and when you yell so loudly and you draw attention to yourself, I think for me it just made more sense to really cross my T's and dot my I's when it came to the risks that we were taking. We spoke out a lot about the 2257 regulations, and for your listeners that aren't aware of what those are, it basically is the law that states you have to be 18 years of age or older in order to have any type of nudity or sexually explicit photography or media in any sense. You have to have documentation in order to prove that you're
yeah.
an adult, which is all fine and good.
Yeah, and even if there's like a date, I think anything produced after 1995?
Yeah, the Department of Justice came out and did an amendment very quietly that was attached to another bill, and what they did was they tacked on what was, you know, a secondary producer piece, which basically means that anyone who carries those pictures or videos, and we, you know, we could be talking about mainstream movies as well. You know, Bruce Willis is naked in one of his movies. We, you know, that would fall into that as well.
And but it doesn't.
Of course.
But it doesn't.
Because the DOJ will never go after Hollywood because they know better. But technically,
absolutely.
Under the law, it does fall under there.
By the way, prostitution laws in the state of California are written to such an extent that anybody who's doing massage therapy could be convicted.
Yeah, I mean, you're not safe.
All you have to do is touch the buttock.
Yeah, there are so many little ins and outs, and I think that's part of what I'm talking about is that I started a national association called NASA, which is the National Association of Sexual Awareness and Empowerment. A mouthful, so it's NASAE.org.
Much easier to say.
but basically what I did was I started kind of grouping together people who were, whether they were sex educators or in in the adult industry in any manner, that we could kind of come together and share legal resources and get updates on stories that were pertinent to things of that nature. And, you know, it's amazing how many little loopholes. And I always say to people, you know, be careful who you piss off, because there's always going to be a law where they can get you. You know, with these ridiculous, barbaric laws of not touching buttocks, or, you know, with just having to have documentation for something that you didn't even create.
Well, a couple times you've said something that I think is very telling, which is you said they've changed the law very quietly without telling anybody.
It's true.
Which, you know, some of this whole, like, don't ask, don't tell mm-hmm. mentality, definitely, anytime there's sex involved, it seems like that is very much the approach that's taken. And a lot of times it's like, well, we'll change the law, and we hope you don't know we changed the law, because we'd actually like to get you.
Well, yeah, because one is they depend on the ignorance of people, so that, one, the general public doesn't know about these things, because if they did, they'd be shocked that these elected officials and politicians and people of power are doing these things, and they're horrendous. But also, they do it quietly so that it's easier to go after whomever they want. The uneducated person who wants to have a sex toy party, you know, that, which is a new trend in selling sex toys in people's homes, like the Tupperware style parties.
Yes.
You know, they
pleasure parties, they call them out here.
Yeah.
The Sacramento area.
You know, they're very popular, and housewives are loving them, and they're having so much fun, and it's like a Sex and the City, you know, episode.
And a lot of people think all this stuff is just they've got carte blanche, but, you know, like in Texas, I think you will probably know if they changed the law recently, but just a couple of years ago, a woman who was throwing some of those pleasure parties went to jail because she had more than 5 dildos in her possession.
Well, yeah, I mean, Joanne Webb a few years ago was the poster child for how wrong these things can go. She was arrested by 2 undercover narcotics officers for selling 2 dildos. And in the state of Texas, it's not illegal to sell sex toys, but it's illegal to sell them and say what they're for. Basically, the state of Texas wants you to lie and say that they're novelties and that they're not intended for sexual use. So it's very bizarre. But
so we're back to don't ask, don't tell.
Exactly. And they have recently, there was a victory in regard to Texas, that there was a court that determined that what they were doing was unconstitutional, but how that plays out and how it's going to be changed is still up in the air. And, you know, you have states like Alabama where it is illegal to sell sex toys with Sherry Williams' case, and, you know, which has gone on and on and on.
So, okay, so for our listeners, tell us about that, because I haven't heard of Sherry Williams, and you're telling me in the state of Alabama it's illegal to sell sex toys.
Yes. Yes, there's
well, what do women do to get off in Alabama?
Well, it's not illegal to own sex toys.
But you got to go.
So they have to
buy
them through the internet, which, you know,
thank God you're there.
Yeah. These poor women would just be.
Hey, if we've got anybody in Alabama listening, go to holisticwisdom.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you need release, we're definitely on your side. And because we're in Colorado, we're able to sell to Alabama. But if you are in Alabama, it is still currently illegal to sell sex toys. Sherry Williams owns stores called Pleasures, and when I first talked to her, I said, "So Sherry, who'd you piss off?" And it was basically a gentleman who later became mayor, and he didn't like the fact that she had these very, very nice upscale boutiques, very geared toward women and couples, and wanted to just do good by the people of Alabama and let them have some fun in the bedroom. I mean, you know, every day things that bring harm to people are illegally sold in the U.S. We sell tobacco, alcohol, guns, knives, and even prescription drugs like Vioxx that we know are deadly. Yet because sexuality is often thought of as dirty and shameful, you know, basically we're at a loss as to whether we can proceed with selling these types of products in certain states.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, for my money, being a political activist, I think it's a little more sinister than that, because I really truly believe that our sexuality is where the core of our creativity comes from.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where your power is. And if we can subdue and control and subvert people's sexuality and not actually allow them to mature into full-grown human beings, because you know what happens in nature, right? You become sexually mature and you leave home.
Yeah.
That's what happens in nature. But in this country anyway, and this is not, you know, the way it is across the globe, but in the good old United States, which, you know, I adore this country, but it's just this sexual puritanism that we have is really sad to me. In this country, you're never allowed to sexually mature because you don't have a sexual bill of rights.
You do not
have the right to have sex unless Uncle Sam says you can.
It's a bit of hypocrisy because I think it comes from a place of repression. I think that there's unfortunately, a lot of people who are repressed for a variety of reasons, whether it be their upbringing, their religious views, whatever it is, but they don't embrace the gifts that God has given us, which is our sex lives, our sexuality, which is a beautiful part of who we are. And if it's embraced in a healthy way, then you don't see a lot of the dysfunction that you see now. Because we are repressing a very natural part of who we are, we end up having very dysfunctional ideas about sexual relationships with others as well as just with ourselves. I mean, you know, I can't tell you the number of women who contact us and they're in their 40s and they, you know, ventured out onto the net looking up information about sexuality, dared to buy a vibrator for the first time, had an orgasm, you know, in their 40s and 50s. And it's mind-blowing to me that you would be alive that long and not have experienced one of the greatest gifts that our body provides for us.
That's so sad. I'm sure you know this history around vibrators, that it actually came from the medical profession.
Yes, absolutely.
Because women were going hysterical.
Right.
Because they weren't getting sexual release. So they'd go to the doctor, and the doctor would massage their clitoris, give them an orgasm, and send them home.
Yeah.
And then this is the funny part of the story to me, is that the reason they invented vibrators is because the doctor's hands were getting tired.
Yeah, that always cracked me up. That's where vibrators come from. My hand got tired. Sorry, huh?
Yeah,
I gotta figure out a way
doctors,
to do this.
Medical doctors just got tired of wanking off these horny women.
I always get such a kick out of that. And you know, and then you see the old fashioned ads for the vibrators and the very happy woman.
Oh yeah.
That's standing there.
Because it's just a back massager, you know.
Right. Mhm.
Yeah. But then we're back to the whole, we can't actually talk about it.
You know, I've come in, you know, to people who are coming to meeting people where they are very threatened by sex toys. And I think, one of the assumptions is that by selling them and talking about them that somehow we're negating sexual contact, you know, manually with your partner or with yourself. And that's not at all what we're about. And I think when you're lumped into the whole sex toy thing, that you're assumed that that's the stance you take.
Yeah, it's not like we're talking about a blow-up doll here.
Yes.
Although there's nothing wrong with blow-up dolls.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with them. But, you know, my feeling is if it brings you happiness and pleasure, and it's fun to be creative in the bedroom and you're enjoying it, then that's great, you know, if you want to pursue that. And if you don't, there's other things that you can do to enhance your sex life, just being educated and being comfortable within your own self and with your partner, and communication and those types of things can really help enhance someone's sex life.
Yeah,
I don't think it has to all be about vibrators.
You don't just sell vibrators on your website. You have marital aids, quote unquote, like videos and books, right? Or I don't know.
Oh, one of our best sellers is the cock ring that vibrates, where you can put it on to a man's penis, and it vibrates him and it vibrates her because it has a little bit of a clitoral stimulation. So while they're having intercourse, it enhances lovemaking. And
wow.
Partners
I'm
love
actually kind of getting hot just hearing
you. Yeah.
Yes.
We cannot keep those on the shelves. Those are flying off.
I'll bet. Can I have one?
Yeah, I mean, there's
I just
so many
find
cool
a guy
things
to attach it to.
There's, I mean, if you look at what's out there now, and you look at the amazing things that are available to people and how much pleasure they can bring us, you start to scratch your head and look at these politicians and movements against something of that nature. I feel like I could write a book filled with all of our customer feedback of saved marriages, and we feel like kids again, and we're 70, and we really appreciated this, and you helped us with erectile dysfunction, and I had a hysterectomy, and I wasn't able to have an orgasm until we tried this product from your site, and or I've experienced a disability through an accident, and I wasn't able to have sexual relations until I did, you know, try using this. I just think that, to me, you look at these arguments against what it is that we do in helping to educate people about sexuality and getting them comfortable with who they are and enhancing their self-esteem and bringing pleasure and wonderful sexual beauty to the world. And it would behoove us as a society to start embracing sexuality in a way that says, this is a natural part of who we are. It's okay to talk about it. It doesn't always have to be totally focused on superficial aspects of it. I mean, which I'm fine with having some superficial aspects of it, you know, having the visual beauty. But there's much more to that. And I think we tend to lump everything into this very seedy kind of unnatural aspect of it. And again, I think it goes back to we are repressed. And so we act out in these very unhealthy ways about sexuality. I mean, you, I'm sure, can attest to the many stories of politicians who are on, you know, fire and brimstone speeches against sexuality, who turn out to be the closeted homosexual who's molested, you know, little boys and been completely inappropriate. And you're like, well, why is that? And you know, working in psychology, I know right away, and most people can identify. They don't have to be a therapist to figure it out. It's repression. And when repression happens, it's going to come out somehow. It's going to manifest in some way. You can't sit on such a very powerful part of who we are and then expect it to go away. It doesn't work like that.
You can't. I have a comment on that. Before I go to that, we're kind of coming up to the halfway mark for tonight's show.
Already? How did that happen?
I know. Two girls talking about sex, you can just go on and on. For our listeners out there right now, I just want to encourage you to feel free to call in if you have any comments or questions. This is, in fact, a call-in show. And the toll-free number in the United States is 877-876-5227. Once again, that's 877-876-5227. If you're calling from Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-815-9756. That number again is 888-815-9756. And our direct line, for those of you who are local, the area code 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. What do you want to call in about? Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody has treated you like you were a slut or a whore, and maybe there were repercussions for that. You know, some of this starts in grade school. Kids start sorting themselves out. Little girls start sorting themselves out before they even get past their first training bra, which is really, really sad. Yeah. And a lot of times we've actually been able to link some of this with lowered self-esteem and lowered ability to perform mathematical tasks. I personally think that the fact that we are putting women in the good girl and bad girl camps, and we're having them compete with each other, and we're having them worry so much about whether or not they're a slut or a whore, I really believe that we are losing a lot of powerful, creative women to that nonsense, because yeah. There's so much energy that goes into that, so much fear that goes into that, and for good reason. If you've been listening here, I mean, you can lose a lot if you become a bad girl. So if you have any comments about that or stories you want to share with us about what may have happened to you or somebody that you know, we are, in fact, you know, talking about what happens to women right now, but there's guys out there who've had a woman that they loved and watched their life get dismantled by this, so feel free to call in. Anyway, back to you, Lisa. Yeah,
speaking
I definitely,
of,
as an escort, ran into lots of guys who were, my favorite one are the religious leaders.
Yeah.
I had, and I'm not going to say who, but I've had some religious leaders as clients, and it's just so sad because they're out there preaching anti-sex rhetoric. And then when they come to see you, I mean, you know, they might be the biggest homophobe at the pulpit, but what do they want to watch? They want to watch gay porn or lesbian porn. And
well, you know, when we had brought up the Joanne Webb story, the woman who was arrested for selling dildos, what was interesting during all of this was I was very involved in her case and helping her and being supportive to her, and I had written several articles, and the minister who had started the whole thing, basically the way it happened was that she was wearing mini skirts to church, and he was upset by this because obviously he was sexually turned on and this was contradicting what he was preaching. And so he took it in, he said, he ended up writing me and explaining the situation, but it was very bizarre on a few levels. One was that first he addressed it with Joanne's husband, not her, and asked him to take her in hand and not wear these such short skirts. Because
get your wife under control, huh?
Right. And her husband, Chris, was like, what are you talking about? You know, didn't God make her body? Isn't that an okay thing for her to be proud of her body? And he was very upset by Chris's not reacting to this and encouraging his wife to do it. So then he spoke with them together and pleaded with her to make a better decision. So she ended up, they ended up leaving the church, and I guess another minister, a female minister at her new church, was upset by this miniskirt situation, and they both decided that this had to be addressed, and the best way was that her brother, the female minister's brother, was on the police department staff, and they decided to go after her the best way that they knew how, because she was having these little sex toy parties to sell sex toys. So they brought her down, and that's how it all started.
That's how it went down.
Yeah. And
so it all started over a miniskirt.
It all started over a miniskirt. And so the minister would email me and say his justifications for this. And oddly, though, as we would speak, he would flirt with me.
Oh, of course.
And I'm like, wait, this is... insane.
Well, you know,
what are you doing?
He can't help himself, darling. He's the man. See,
right.
It's up to women to control male desires.
Well, you know, and that's exactly what he said. And I put it back on him, and I said, exactly at what point do you take responsibility for your own behavior and your own thoughts and your own feelings? And he said, well, I understand what you're saying, but some things are beyond our control. And I said, well, it is fine to feel desire. That's a normal thing. It's what you do about it. Do you empower people, or do you restrain and control people in a very fear-based way? And, you know, his responses really didn't address that, because he couldn't acknowledge that what he was doing was, basically controlling someone else because he couldn't take responsibility for himself. And it was just, it's so typical, and you see it all over the place. You know, one of the things I was going to say when you were going to the telephone numbers and talking about the interpretation of the bad girl, it was interesting when I decided to teach people about sexuality and do it in a public way. I had a friend of mine who disowned me and said that my husband was pimping me out, and I was basically a prostitute.
Oh my God.
Was shocking to me, because I was the one who had initiated this. My husband was being supportive of me,
right?
And continues to be, and works for our company. But you know, there was never a point, and as a very independent, strong-willed woman that I am, where I ever put myself in that situation, but it was immediately assumed. And this is someone I went to high school with and thought was on the same wavelength. But it's just amazing to me how those old stereotypes of the man controlling the woman and she's the victim, but at the same time she should still be shunned too.
We're either victimized or we're some evil Jezebel.
Right.
But, you know, so it's ridiculous. But that's what you get when you have this whole hormadonic dichotomy, because then you have either a virginal woman who absolutely must be protected and who can't care for herself,
mm-hmm.
or you have this wicked, wild woman who is responsible for the breakdown of society.
And was probably corrupted by man at some point in order
probably.
To become that way.
Yeah.
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 Like, what?
I can't believe, it's amazing to me, really, when I listen to your stories, how similar they are to mine, because, you know, I went into something that was illegal and pretty much the most horrible thing that you can become in this culture as a prostitute.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I mean, you're like a therapist who's selling sex toys and people are still giving you the same venomous reaction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my husband was disowned by his family.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't spoken with them in years. And
doing perfectly legal.
Yeah.
And something beautiful, helping people have orgasms, and you're not touching them. You're just selling them toys. I can't believe that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, like I said earlier, when I sit down with future employees, I warn them that when you come on to our company and you put that down on your resume, if you decide one day to leave us or we part ways, that you are forever labeling yourself and tainting yourself by having any association with our company, because we are about sexual health. And we're about sexual health in an adult context. So, you know, I warn people if, you know, I had some very naive applicants for a job once where they were talking about doing this temporarily and then finishing up a degree and going into teaching children. And I said, oh, no. No, once you work for a company, if anyone ever found out that you worked for a company that sold sex toys and you want to work as a teacher in an elementary school, that may not go over too well. And it doesn't matter where you are in the United States. It really doesn't. Because as liberal a place that you might think you're in, there's often sometimes someone in power that doesn't necessarily think that way, and it can absolutely ruin a career for your future. So I always warn people about the stigma, and I think one of the things I would love to see change is for people to come out talking about this and changing the way that people think about it through communication and through coming together, you know, women and other women coming together and saying, you know what, this is not okay. It's just not okay to discriminate against someone who's sexually empowered and feels good about themselves, has a confidence about their sexuality. I find that that's absolutely needed, and until we all come together and make a stand and say those things out loud and let our politicians and let our leaders know that it's not okay to shun us, then you're not going to see change. You're going to continue to see superficial sexuality and these ridiculous Madonna whore types of stigmas, and it really is important that all of us speak out and share with one another to make a difference and a change, even if it's just talking with your girlfriends and saying things out loud, because it does start in small steps and then it becomes larger. And, you know, that saying of act locally, that you can change things
think globally.
Right, think globally, act locally.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the best thing that you can start doing is to join organizations that empower women, that empower couples, that empower sexuality.
The other thing I would really encourage women to do is and this is interesting, because one time I was presenting to a college, and the professor said to me, she says, you know, during the 60s feminist movement, I became an honorary lesbian. She said, I wasn't a lesbian, but I became an honorary lesbian because I realized that my lesbian sisters were paying a heavy price.
Right, right.
And I wanted to show solidarity. And she says, after hearing you speak, she says, I've decided that I want to become an honorary whore. And this word has huge, huge ripple effects. You know, as soon as I say that word, people shudder.
Yeah.
They you know, their butt cheeks clench.
Right.
It's like, oh, no, don't say the whore word.
Right.
And the reason that to me is so important to reclaim that is because as long as women are afraid of that word, there's always this but. You know, it's like, okay, it's 2008, and it's okay to have sex when you're not married, but you can't have sex for this reason or that reason.
Right.
And it's interesting, actually, to me that it's like I have to be able to justify my sex life. I only have sex if. And almost every woman has an if.
Mm-hmm.
I have an if,
mm-hmm.
and I've been working on my sexual shame for a long time.
Yeah.
And I still have an if, and the if is I'm allowed to have sex if. And, but, you know, very rarely do men run around going, well, I can only have sex if.
Yeah.
You know, if it's available, yeah. You know. But we have to have a justification, and it's not about, well, because I wanted to or because I was, you know, horny or because... No, it's about, well, okay, I thought there was going to be a relationship here, or I was in love, or I wanted to have a baby, or I was married, or we'd been dating each other for a long time, or I was afraid he was going to leave me, you know.
Or I was drunk.
Yeah, exactly. This defensive posture around our sex lives. And I was at a international conference on prostitution 2 years back. We were up in Montreal. We had women from women, men, and transgender sex workers from around the world in Montreal. And three of us stayed up late one night and tried to work on an acronym for the word whore. And we came up with, we honor ourselves with respect and empowerment.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was one night watching that ridiculous show, it's about pimps and hoes or something, like an HBO thing. Have you seen that?
The Hunter's Point thing or something.
Yeah, and like the guy talks in this really low voice and you know, you see these street prostitutes who are walking around with missing teeth and doing drugs and talking about how they don't know how to balance a checkbook, and their pimp is the greatest thing known to man. And
I know.
I just think to myself, my God, really? Is that really where we are? That because it's illegal, we allow this.
Yeah.
You know, basically, if it were legal, none of this would fly. We'd have a much better situation going on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I've been working for Decrim for so many years.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, when I see street prostitution at its worst, what I see is domestic violence and drug addiction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, of course, survival sex. I'm not talking about somebody like me who's got a college diploma and
right.
7 years in corporate America and decides, oh, I want to fly around with a briefcase and see high, you know, wealthy businessmen for a living. That's like a choice. That's an empowered choice. We're talking about somebody who's, like, run away from home because they're father was abusing them sexually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They go to the streets, they meet some pimp, he treats them better than anybody from their family of origin, and they don't know any better. That, you know, it's institutionalized domestic violence. If their home was violent, how do they know the difference?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it sent a message that their civil liberties are not important.
No.
And their health is not important. And in fact, as human beings, they're just not important. And it almost felt like a very cattle type of situation. It also disturbed me that we're spending our tax money on that, you know, and enforcing that.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, there are rapists and murderers and horrifying acts of crime going on all around us, and you're focusing on the prostitute?
And usually what you're going to hear them say, the police officers are going to say, well, there's not enough of us, not enough hours in the day, not enough money, blah, 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 to really go after all of the rapists and robbers and,
mm-hmm.
And all that. And
but they have enough money to arrest a woman selling two dildos.
Basically, when it comes to just arresting street prostitutes, your most major cities are spending $10 million
yeah.
a year.
Yeah. Think of all the hungry that would feed.
If you really want to help the street prostitute, too, how about opening up a domestic violence shelter that will actually take a working prostitute?
Right.
Most of them, you know, again, you got to at least lie and say that you're no longer working.
At least be open enough about it to make it so that it's not an offense and not illegal and
yeah.
provide resources so that they have more options. So that better educational aspects are in place for vocational training, or
but instead, what they do is they throw them into this meat grinder called
mm-hmm.
you know Vice,
mm-hmm.
and they go in, they spend a night in jail, they come out, they've been slapped with a $300 to $500 fine. Now they got to go make even more money,
yeah.
turning more tricks, so that they can go pay the government and give Uncle Sam his share.
Yeah,
and meanwhile, you know. Like as not, because they missed that one night, they're going to go home to a beating.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of prostitutes are really young mothers. We're talking, you know, girls who have got babies at home, and they don't feel like they can just up and leave.
Right, right.
And the social network is such that, you know, they've got an extended family that helps them with child care. So that would be like an immediate need. Take some of that $10 million and open up a daycare for these mothers who are looking for options. But no, what we do is we slap a fine on them so they have to work out the streets even more, and then we give them an arrest record so nobody will hire them to
yeah.
do anything else.
Oh, right. You know, just stop you right in your tracks as far as what your future is ever going to look like.
Yeah.
To me, it's just inhumane. And it was so disturbing to take a glimpse of that and in that way and almost have it kind of glamorized in a weird kind of way. I'll stop watching the show and thought to myself that just it wasn't glamorized, but it just seemed like it was made to be kind of acceptable that was an okay way to treat people and. That's just the way it is, rather than, I would love to see a documentary going in and looking at proactive ways that we can make a difference. And, you know, you hear people complaining from time to time, the brave ones that actually defend legalization of prostitution and risk their reputations to do so. But I think... what I'd like to see is people, you know, to continue to educate the public on the effects that it would have on them as well in a positive way, to stop putting all this time and energy and money into keeping women down who are in that situation and empower people about not only that topic but in sexuality in general.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I'm gonna do a little shout-out here to our listeners one more time, guys. Got about 12 more minutes before we go off the air if you want to call in and make a comment or share something personal with us. This is a good place to share your secrets in the shame-free zone. And toll-free in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And you can call toll-free in Canada at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And the direct line is area code 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Getting back to you, Lisa, about the this glamorizing, you know, it's interesting to me because I don't think they're glamorizing the street prostitute, but they're glamorizing her pimp.
Yes. Thank you. That's really where I was trying to go with that.
And what we've gotten here is whatever little bit of acceptance that we have created in the culture for prostitution and pornography is all about, you know, denigrating and degrading the woman, not empowering her to be a fully sexual functioning being, you know, but rather to keep her down. It's like it's okay to mistreat her because she crossed that line.
Right, right. And, you know, it's, to me, I was looking around, too, at some of the glamorized pimp aspects where you have songs by 50 Cent and you have shows that are really focusing on how wonderful it is to be a pimp and to be a man and to keep women in line. And, again, it feeds into that whole Madonna horror story that we've been telling ourselves for so long. And it's, I think, our responsibility as women today to come forward and to say that that's just simply not okay. And I'm not as much angry about it as I am just terribly disappointed. As a child, I used to think that the world that we lived in had adults that were fair and just, and as I got older, I realized that a lot of the rules of the playground actually still existed, and that the cruelty that I had seen in some children actually was amplified as we got older and into adulthood. And now, as a 38-year-old looking at our politicians, I can see that a lot of the bullies are running the country.
Well, it's dominating the media too with the reality TV shows, you know. You are voted off the island. Now, forget about cooperation. It's all about cutthroat competition.
Yeah. It's shocking to me that we're here at this point. And every day, as you know, we try to make a difference in people's lives. I'm quite blessed with a lot of customer feedback and website visitors from our holisticwisdom.com site that just praise us for how much we've helped them and empowered them by offering them education. I mean, one of the hot topics right now is talking about the toxins and sex toys and educating people about what's safe and what's not, and what materials that you can combine with certain lubricants, because these are things that impact people's health, and if you're not educated about those things, you could be introducing unnecessary toxins into your body.
You've actually got some very informative articles on your website.
Yeah.
What are
yeah.
some of the titles of those?
Well, one of the ones that I had just finished was about green sex toys and looking at ways that people can find out what's non-toxic, what's phthalate-free, which is a toxin, what can be recycled, and certainly the packaging. We've gone green, and all of our packaging is recycled or recyclable, and just educating people on not only how they can love themselves but love the planet and be conscientious in the bedroom. The articles that I've done vary. I mean, we do things on holistic sex, on you know, using alternative types of things in the bedroom, from color therapy to massage therapy, and then, you know, as far as educating people about sex toys, we have articles on not only the sex toy materials, but sex toys to use during pregnancy, how to choose a vibrator, what to look for, how to clean sex toys, that kind of thing. Because I think...
Because some of them are dishwasher safe.
Yeah, some of them are.
That always trips me out. I don't want to stick my sex toy in the dishwasher.
I wrote an article about especially Pyrex glass sex toys, which are amazing. And I said they're dishwasher safe. And then as a side, I said, and be careful not to leave them in their dishwasher, especially if you're going to have
especially if your mother-in-law
coming
over.
You know, it was a funny story, actually. My husband is in charge of our shipping department, and somehow my mother's address got put in place instead of one of our customers, and we accidentally sent her an order.
No way.
I know, it never happened.
Is this a woman that's not talking to you anymore?
No, this is my mom, and she's great with everything. She's been very supportive. So she called me, and she said, "Now, Lisa, did you... do you have something you're trying to tell me?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Didn't you send me a package?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, there's a penis that..." And I went down to my husband and I said, "John, you just sent my mother a dildo. What the hell are you thinking?" But luckily, she had a very good sense of humor about it.
Well, thank God. Yeah. My mother would freak.
I told him to take my mother's address out of the shipping thing.
My mom thinks sex toys is a sin.
Oh, God. I was very lucky that it was sent to my mother and not someone else. And
well, if you ever have a mix-up like that again, be sure and mix up and send it to my address. I actually get to try out sex toys for not for a living, but for free, because people want me to blog about their sex toys.
Oh God, yeah. We get a lot of that too, where they send all kinds of free.
Some of them are terrible.
Stuff. Yeah, you're like, what?
I'm not going to say who, because I promised I wouldn't. I said they started saying, "How come you haven't blogged about us?" And I said, "Because you don't want me to."
Yeah. You should see some of the things we get.
I got a yeast infection from your little toy, okay?
Yeah, I mean, we're sent all kinds of samples, and a lot of times we're just all kind of stumped looking at each other like, really? No way.
What?
Just no way.
This particular one, you can only use it in one position, too. And I was like, that's not the position I come in. Thank you very much.
I've got to take yoga for that. What?
And how can you get a yeast infection from a toy? What's up with that?
Well, you know, some of the things that we talk about is, you know, making sure how to clean your sex toys. There's a lot of times, you know, other companies that send out sex toys have them in warehouses, and they've been handled by people and opened, and they're dusty. And
And
the fun part is some of them actually take returns, which we don't do. Yeah.
Oh, so, that's disgusting.
Yeah. We were, you know, a lot of our customers are happy because we refuse to take returns. We are, you know, if there's a defective product, we just replace it. We don't ask for it back. Because a lot of companies out there that sell sex toys, they actually do offer returns, and then they go ahead and fix whatever the problem was and resell it.
Oh, my God.
And you're talking about STDs here. I mean, you've got to be very careful about what you're using. And so, you know, we hold ourselves to the highest level here and make sure that we don't do that, because a lot of people... their health and their lives are at risk. You don't know what you're handling and what and where it's been.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So what's the safest thing to do? Obviously, ordering from you is the safest thing to do. But the next safest thing, if you happen to pick, you know, something up in another store.
I would learn how to clean the material. First, I'd find out what the material is.
Okay.
And then, you know, and you're certainly...
And you've got all that on your website, right?
We do, and we outline how to clean certain sex toys, because some cleaners will actually break down certain types of materials, so you need to be careful about what types of cleaners you're using on them. You can disinfect them. Some toys cannot be disinfected, like CyberSkin.
Yeah.
That's very porous, and there's just no way that you're going to be able to have that safe. So we recommend putting condoms over them if you're unsure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, if all else fails, condoms. Well, we're running out of time here, Lisa. Tell us again about your website and how people can contact you.
Well, the main two that I think your listeners would be interested in is holisticwisdom.com, and that's HOLISTICWISDOM.com. And that's our retail site, and that's where you'll find all the education and the sex toys and better sex videos. And we have a newsletter, and there's all kinds of goodies on it. And then we also have a national organization called NASA for short, the National Association of Sexual Awareness and Empowerment, and that's NASAE.org. And that is our site that really focuses on becoming more aware of the political issues, especially for those who are in the adult industry or thinking about getting involved in legal resources, and just things that you would want to know, and a nice way to kind of connect and join together to be more empowered and educated.
Well, thanks, Lisa.
Thank you
so much. Always so much fun to talk with you.
We'll
have you back again.
I'd love it.
And for my listeners out there, I will be back here, same time, same channel, Station 1 on BBSRadio.com. the Shame Free Zone every Monday at 9 p.m. So be sure and tune in and call in. Don't be shy. This is a very safe place, anonymous place. Nobody knows who you are. You can talk about anything you want as long as it's about sex. And and if, just so you all know, I retired from escorting about 4 years ago. So what I do now is work as a certified sexologist. If you've got any questions about sex or issues surrounding relationships and dating, that's what I do. That's what I do all day long. I talk on the phone to people who want help with dating, marriage, divorce, their sex lives, you name it. So, and you can check that out, see what I can do for you at my website, which is www.sexwithoutshame.com. And you can also call me toll-free, 888-903-0050. That's 888-903-0050. I usually answer my phone from 10 to 10, Monday through Friday. Thank you so much, and see you back here next Monday. Good night.
Veronica Monet offers help, healing, and hope in the form of private telephone sessions. Email Veronica at sexwithoutshame.com to schedule an appointment, or visit www.sexwithoutshame.com to find out what Veronica can do for you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. You'll be listening to new tracks from my new album Turning Inside right here on BBS Radio. Because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.